Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Digitally Uploaded podcast. We have great news this week. Fidget Spinner is coming out on PC. That came to us from Matt, who discovered that and is very excited about it. It's going to be game of the year. It's going to be game of the century, I reckon. And yeah. So thanks for discovering that, Matt.
You're welcome.
And with us.
In a couple of days.
And with us. 1st of August, it's very close. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. just so exciting. I mean, who doesn't like some fidget spinner? And with us this week, we also have Ginny. Hello, Ginny.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What are your opinions on fidget spinner?
I think fidget spinner, the game, is going to resonate with our generation in the way that Mass Effect Andromeda never could. So I'm pretty hopeful, yeah.
There you go. There's our big hot prediction. Fidget Spinner is going to be better than Mass Effect Andromeda, which is probably actually not that difficult to do. The Emoji Movie is probably better than that. I've seen the Emoji Movie yet, but I'm definitely going to.
It looks very good. Very, yeah. Very, very good.
Yeah, that 6% Rotten Tomatoes rating definitely makes me very excited and interested in watching the Emoji Movie.
That's very good.
Which is exactly right. You know, It's a higher rating than what Mass Effect Andromeda deserves. And welcome back. That was our customary Hatsune Miku track. I hope you enjoyed it. Now, let's talk about games of August, because by the time you're listening to this, it will be the start of the month. And it's going to be a very long month for games indeed. If you try and play them all, you're probably going to go crazy, which is going to be us, I think. But let's run through the list, or at least some of the list, and then we'll talk about which ones we're most looking forward to. So at the very start of the month, we have We have The Long Dark. We've got Hellblade, which looks just incredible. We have Masquerader, which is this JRPG thingy from a Singapore developer, which is really good. We have Summer Night 6. We have Sonic. If you're one of the two fans left of Sonic in the planet, there
Three
you go.
Three fans.
Three, fine. Yeah, you, Alan, and one other person. that's the entire planet. There's Nidhogg 2, which is the sequel to one of the better multiplayer games that's come out in recent years. There's City Skylines on PS4, which is an excellent city builder, and we're really looking forward to the PS4 version of that. Zero Escape visual novel that's coming to PlayStation 4 as well. Uncharted The Lost Legacy for Uncharted fans. There you go. Enjoy. NFL, if you're into American sports, you've also got F1, which is not an American sport, but Americans like it, I hear. Then there's a White Day, which is a horror game starring Japanese school pupils and horrible things happening to them, and looks really scary and good and stuff. The Escapists 2, if you're a fan of the original and you have a soul, you were. There's a sequel coming. What else we got? Yakuza Kiwami, which is the remake of the very first Yakuza and well worth looking forward to. Everybody's Golf, which had a great beta earlier in the year. And Warriors All-Stars, which is Koei Tecmo's mashup of all their favorite characters and with the soft engine to make them look extra good and bouncy and stuff. That's just a shortened list of the games. Actually, that's just the PS4 list. If we look at the 3DS, we've also got stuff like Coldcept. If we look at PC, there's other stuff happening. If you look at... it's going to be a very busy month for games. So, Ginny, of all the games that are coming out in the month, what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, ironically, probably Fidget Spinner. I actually want to see what it plays like. Like, I've got this morbid curiosity where I want to experience things that I am innately repulsed to. So I think Fidget Spinner. But serious game choices though, Sonic Mania, because as you mentioned, Alan, myself, and I don't know, probably some crazy person in the middle of nowhere are the only three Sonic fans left in the world. And like any strong obsessive fan, I consume pretty much all content on that franchise. So I will be playing Sonic Mania when it comes out. Very keen on that. I'm also quite interested to see Nidhogg, actually. I thought the first one was quite interesting, like that sort of multiplayer dueling concept, which I hadn't really seen executed very well before. Hellblade as well. I'm excited, probably a bit apprehensive. I think I've been burned a lot in the past by depictions of mental health in games. So I think to sort of have an entire game and its sort of strong narrative based around this central issue will be very interesting to me. So I could either love it or hate it, depending.
It is a Ninja Theory game, so it's probably going to be good.
Yeah, I'm very confident about it, so hopefully it's going to be down.
It probably sell about 12 copies, because that's what Ninja Theory does. But, yeah. I mean, they make great games, they just don't sell them.
Yeah, I've seen some footage, and people apparently hate it because no one's released any gameplay footage yet, which is, you know, just the community being the community. But I think it's good to have it all under wraps. That way, when you actually experience it the first time, it's, you know, it's wholly unique. And I think the whole mental health stuff might actually tie in with the game or combat mechanics, which is probably why they're sort of keeping under wraps. But we'll see. Apart from that, the only other one that I can really think I'm actually going to be into, the other two really, Patapon Remastered, because I loved Patapon when I played it as a child, and a more serious choice. I'm going to say Warriors All-Stars, because I love the soft engine. I think my Twitter bio says soft engine connoisseur. So I have a personal vested interest in watching the soft engine at work. So I think I'm going to enjoy it. And unlike Fire Emblem Warriors, I think they've made some good character choices here in Warriors All-Stars.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, Koei knows which characters it has that are popular. So, you know, rather than put... older characters, I guess, from Dead or Alive or whatever, they realize that everybody likes Murray Rose and Honoka, so they've put those two in there. And they've picked, you know, characters from the more niche games as well. I think the Neo guy's in there, which is cool. There's also, you know, Tukiden guys in there. There's obviously the Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors characters. There's... Yep. Yeah, I think there's one or two characters from Deception in there, the Trap Lane game that almost nobody played, but is actually really good. I think that's it, is it? Or is there more? There might be more. Oh, and Nobunaga, the cat.
Oh, yeah. I think the first time I heard the voice over for that, I had like a bit of a shock. I was like, is that voice coming out of that body? But he's meant to be the spirit, right, of Nobunaga? Like, that's the whole thing. He's like, the spirit of Nobunaga's possessed his cat, which is now shooting things in the head.
I don't actually know the story behind it. I know he's like crazy popular in Japan. So yeah. For listeners who aren't aware what Nobunaga is, Koei has this series of games, their mobile games, which warlords or heroes and turns them into cats of various breeds and then plays with the name so that they sound like, you know, they've got cat-like names. So Nya in Japan is the kind of noise that the cat makes. So Nobunaga is, you know, Nobunaga Oda with a cat noise name. And they're really popular. At Tokyo Game Show every year, they pull out, you know, characters dressed, people dressed in these character costumes every year and have them wandering around the booth. And it's kind of nice to see that one of them made it into Warriors All-Stars. Who knows if he'll be any good. He'll just be cool to use because he's a cat with a moustache and guns and kills stuff. And that's just cool. There's also going to be Atelier characters. I forgot to mention that. I can't believe I forgot that. So, it's going to be great. It's like Warriors Orochi plus. Just fine
plus,
for me.
Plus Honoka is the main attraction for me. But yeah, I'm going to be busy as hell coming up in August. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And Matt, off all of those games that we've been talking about, which ones are you looking forward to? And you're not allowed to say Uncharted because that's not a good game.
Fidget spinner.
Everybody's into fidget spinner.
Yep. Trying to be a masterpiece. I am actually morbidly curious about that after looking at it and the screenshots that
exactly
are on the Steam page for it just look terrible, brilliant. I'm not sure. Somewhere both, all at the same time. This is a game in which you ride a hoverboard while playing with this fidget spinner, and the game's official description says, "Whirl the fidget spinner, ride the hoverboard, enjoy the scenery." The whole trend theme of 2017 is in this game. So how can that not be game of the year? But on a more serious note, I think Hellblade is probably the game I'm most looking forward to this month. I've been very excited about that since it was first announced, just because well, it sounds really good, and games that actually deal with mental illness in a meaningful way are rare, and we'll see how well they actually do when it comes out, but I think everything that Ninja Theory have been saying about it and the work they're doing to make it authentic gives me a lot of faith that they're going to do a good job of that, so that is probably my most excited. And what else? It's a very busy month. So busy that I can't remember anything that's coming out.
I mean, I know you, more seriously, I know you'll really enjoy Uncharted, I think, Matt. Potential themes aside, it is your favorite Uncharted character, and from the play that I've had with her earlier in the week or last week now, you'll like it. I think you'll really enjoy what they've done with the character.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah, I'm kind of cautiously looking forward to it in that I really didn't like Uncharted 4, even though I love the first three games. The first two and a half. Uncharted 3 ended up kind of fell off a bit. But yeah, And one of the reasons I didn't like Uncharted 4 was because Chloe was nowhere to be seen, and she is the best character in that franchise by far. So having her as one of the main characters is very exciting, but I'm also skeptical because of Uncharted 4, and also the creative leads are people I don't know about, and from looking at what they've done before, there's nothing that stands out to me as being particularly good. So
I mean,
hopefully it does turn out well, but I am still a bit skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, my great concern with it is the way it's going to present. There's some potential themes in there that are all kinds of trash. And I'm hoping that Naughty Dog is above doing what Activision or EA would do, given a similar situation. But there's red flags there that I'm concerned about with regards to the game's themes. And I don't think, for me, nothing, having these good characters in Chloe and Nadine, and they're good characters and they've done well, wouldn't be enough to save the game if it's going to go down the path that it's threatening to, from the time I've had on it. But, you know, it'd be good to have another really, really, really standout Uncharted game. I think I might be the only person that has absolutely no concern that Harry will do the topic of mental illness justice in Hellblade. I know it's a very difficult topic to do well, and games have not done it very well at all traditionally. But you look at what Ninja Theory's done, and single theme they've ever tried to do in a very responsible, mature, and intelligent fashion. So I've got absolutely no concerns about Blade is going to be a genuine Game of the Year contender without even needing to have played it beforehand on that.
I would agree with you on that. I think it's...
I mean, it's just if you look at stuff like Enslaved and Heavenly Sword, long time ago now. Those games just... Yeah, nailed everything they tried to do, and did it, like I said, in a very intelligent way. So if Ninja Theory decides they want to do a game about mental illness, I've got no issue with believing that they can do it right, even if it sells like 2 copies in the end. It probably will. Because, yeah, good games don't necessarily get rewarded in this industry. But for me, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Warriors All-Stars. That's definitely my game. Through, and I can't probably across the various versions of Warriors Orochi 3 that got released, I would have spent hundreds of hours playing the game, and I expect I'll probably do the same with this one, because we're talking about casts that would be well over 100 characters and stuff. And the other one I'm really looking forward to personally is Yakuza. I didn't actually play the original Yakuza. I never had the chance, so came to the series quite late. I only the first one I played was Yakuza 4, actually. So the chance to go back and kind of kick everything off is really exciting for me, especially with Yakuza 6 coming up. It'll be a good way of introing into or getting me back into the series. Welcome back, everybody. So the other big bit of news this now. But yeah, the big bit of news that came out last week was that Square Enix is actually going to localize Dragon Quest XI for Western markets. And that's kind of really exciting because Square Enix has not done a mainstream one, a mainline numbered one for quite a while. Nintendo's actually been the one that's localized the last couple of ports to 3DS and Dragon Quest IX on the DS. So for Square Enix to localize a Dragon Quest numbered Dragon Quest game, and we're all really looking forward to that. So we thought we'd have a talk about Dragon Quest in general, what we like about the series, and how much we're looking forward to this one. I know you're a huge fan of Dragon Quest, Matt, so why don't you tell us what you're looking forward to of it?
I'm looking forward to playing a new Dragon Quest. Which,
it's been a while, hasn't it?
It sounds a bit reductive, but I think there is a kind of simple, consistent charm, particularly through all the main series games, that you kind of always know, at least to some degree, what you're going to get. But that is a good thing in this case. It's not just a series that is tired and has forgotten how to innovate. It'll be a very kind of simple, enjoyable, slightly silly fantasy story, with full of cute characters and cute monsters and slimes. I think one thing I find really interesting about 11 in particular is the simultaneous PS4 and 3DS release, which is, I assume that's the case for the Western release. The press release I got didn't actually mention platforms, but I assume it will be the case. Which is, well, first of all, it's just weird having a game being released on that combination of platforms specifically, rather than just a general multi-platform game or a console exclusive. But it's also interesting because obviously there's a lot of the technical differences between the platforms. So on PS4, it just is very quote-unquote good graphics, kind of high res. It looks like a PS4 game, basically. Like Dragon Quest Heroes 2, it's kind of got that same kind of style to it. But then the 3DS version, you can switch between, it's got two different graphic styles as far as I know. And I think the top screen display is one and the bottom screen display is the other. So on the top screen, it looks kind of like Dragon Quest VII, the 3DS remake. It's that sort of 3D as good as 3DS is capable of, but not super cutting edge. But then the bottom screen looks like the older remakes of the Dragon Quest 4, 5, 6. So kind of almost looks like a SNES game. Super Nintendo game. And they've managed to figure out a way using like an old-fashioned password system to transfer progress between the PS4 and 3DS versions despite different companies and completely different platforms. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I've always found it interesting that, you know, Square Enix uses Final Fantasy series to really kind of push boundaries with each new game. Final Fantasy 15 is a very different game to what Final Fantasy 14 was, which is, you know, hugely different to 13, 12, and so on and so forth. Whereas the Dragon Quest games are very much, they're set in different worlds, fantasy worlds, but there's a real consistency from one to the next that you know immediately that you're playing a Dragon Quest game without needing to hear the music or needing to see the title of it. You know exactly what you're getting with those games, and that's that kind of consistency, especially for a series that is as valuable as Dragon Quest and has the kind of budgets that Square Enix gives them. It's nice. You know, it's retro in the sense that you can go back and you get nostalgic just playing one of them, regardless of which one it is. And it's just a nice feeling. and that's what those games are really to me as well. It's just about having that nice feeling of playing a very classical, traditional Mecha did back when I was a kid, and that's what I'm kind of looking forward to with this new one as well. Ginny, are you a fan of Dragon Quest?
Well, I have only actually played one Dragon Quest game.
What?
I've only played one, and it's 8.
At least you pick one of the best ones to go first.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, I think they re-released it on the 3DS not so long ago, which is basically when I got it. And I thought it was quite good, but I hadn't played the others previously, so I think it didn't have that same impact of, you know, any, like, I didn't recognize, obviously now that I've played it, I know it's got a very distinct art style, but because I hadn't played any before, I think some of the impact was lost on me, but it was a really good game, and I enjoyed it. And for some time, I contemplated picking up the Dragon Quest MMORPG, which they're actually going to bring to Switch sometime soon. So maybe people will play that instead of Splatoon. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I've always, like, when I look into a new franchise, I always try and figure out if they've got, like, an MMO. Because I don't know, like, my gaming history is rooted in playing MMO, so I've always got this, like, weird innate interest in them. So I checked out Dragon Quest X, and it didn't really look like it was my speed. And I think when I looked at it at the time, it hadn't quite been localized yet or wasn't available in English. And so I was like, well, my grasp of Japanese is very rudimentary. I probably couldn't play an entire MMO in Japanese, and so I quite quickly lost interest. But I think if it came to Switch sometime soon, apparently this year actually it's releasing on Switch, the Dragon Quest X MMO, I might be tempted to get back into the series and try and explore more of it so I can understand you and other Matt's enthusiasm for the franchise. I mean, it looks quite charming, but obviously because with no sort of, like, history of the franchise, I don't have that same attachment to it yet. But it looks good. I think it's good.
I don't believe, unfortunately, at this stage, there's an English translation for Dragon Quest X, even though it is coming to Switch. As far as I'm aware, it is still Japan only. I might have missed the news, which would be sad.
Is it Japan only?
It is, and it's even if you do want to play it in Japanese, there's a lot of hoops to jump through just because they, like, block non-Japanese IPs from playing it. I know, because I've tried to play it.
I've never actually been able to. Damn.
Yeah, they're super. For whatever reason, they're super. Yeah. For whatever reason, they're super conservative about who can actually play this one. They have said in interviews in the past that they're still contemplating
a North American release, is what I heard.
Taking it more globally, which would be nice. Obviously, we'd all love to play it. It actually has the same director, producer, person as Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm.
Okay.
Same guy. He was so successful in Dragon Quest, they actually brought him onto Final Fantasy XIV to save it after the original release was such a travesty. So, yeah, he's obviously a very cluey MMO. And, yeah, for that reason alone, I'm actually really keen on seeing this one, if it ever does come out in English. It'd be nice. Yeah. It'd be nice to have an MMO on the Switch.
Yeah, I know.
Yoshi P, king of MMOs.
Yeah.
I would also say that, like, most of the games have been ported to mobile now, and the earlier Dragon Quest games, I think all the way from 1 to 8 are on mobile, and the ports are really good.
Except for 1. The port of the original one doesn't work. Yeah, no, it's a good port, but it crashes like crazy on my phone now.
Well, at least playing on Android, I never had any crash issues.
You're lucky.
I would say, yeah, the first three, even though they're not direct ports from the NES release, they're updated. They still kind of do feel a little bit dated, which is, I really like them in part because of that reason. But I think if you were wanting somewhere to dive in, maybe like 4, 5, or 6, any of those are really good.
Okay.
Starting places, and they're all on,
yeah, I mean, those
on mobile for like $10 or $15 each.
Oh, easy then. Yeah.
Yeah, those would be my suggestions for newcomers to Dragon Quest as well, 4, 5, and 6. They're all linked, actually. they're all direct sequels, one to the other. So 4, 5, and 6 all share the same universe, the same. They have different characters and they're set in different times, I believe, but they have legendary weapons that are shared across the three of them, and they share a history and lore. So
it's the same with one,
if you do get into them, play 4. Correct. That's true.
And as you, I know you've already played it, Jenny, but 8 is also a very good starting point.
I thought 8 was great, yeah. So
for most of us, it would have been our starting point anyway with the PS2 version, because that was the first game in the series to come out in Europe and Australia, New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I can start with 4 and work my way up then, because I really liked 8.
8 is, I think, is probably the best game, I would say, in the series. But they all are very good, and the things you like about 8 are mostly present in the other games as well.
Excellent. Awesome. Sounds great.
Yeah, and then you can always get into the side games afterwards as well, because, yeah, Dragon Quest has a lot of those. The Warriors, yes, there's the Dragon Quest Heroes games.
I remember you guys talking about
them. You'd enjoy them more if you'd played the previous games, because, you know, the characters are brought into Dragon Quest Heroes, and you obviously want to enjoy the characters. They're really good, and I know Matt and I are in complete agreement that the game is, if anything, you know, more enjoyable than Minecraft.
It's not hard for a game to be more enjoyable than Minecraft.
It's crazily good. But I'm assuming you're talking about Dragon Builders.
Yeah, Builders is the one.
That is.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about the mic issue. But yeah, Dragon Quest Builder is better than Minecraft because it's good and it doesn't have a notch involved. And
that sells it for me, honestly, if he's not.
But yeah, it's actually a really good way of, it's a really good example of a game that took the basics of Minecraft and did a clone, and I do that in inverted commas, but did it in such a way that it's actually, it has its own identity. It isn't reliant on Minecraft to be a good game. It isn't reliant on, you know.
You could even say it took the basic blocks of Minecraft and built upon them.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Oh god.
But yeah, it's really good, and it actually it kind of mirrors the story of the first Dragon Quest. So it's actually good fun. It's kind of a reimagining of the original Dragon Quest. So you play the original Dragon Quest and then play this one, and it's a good way of seeing how a developer can go back to, you know, one of its very first games and do a reimagining in a way that isn't just a graphical upgrade. I found that really fascinating as well.
Oh, yeah.
And for the last section of the podcast this week, we thought we'd talk about Dream crossovers, because Warriors All-Stars is out at the end of next month, as we mentioned earlier, and we're very pumped for it, and we do like our character crossovers. So, yeah, we're, you know, what kind of, if we had a ideal world where we could pick whatever crossover we'd like. Would we pick Sonic times Fidget Spinner? Would we pick Final Fantasy Beach Volleyball? What would we go with? Jeannie, I know you're quite keen on the Sonic Fidget Spinner idea. So.
Well, to be fair, Sonic Adventures 2 kind of is about skating anyway, if you think about it. So I think incorporating the hoverboard aspect would be incredibly easy. And I mean, Sonic does have to actually attack the robots as he escapes from the city and the other various levels in Sonic Adventures 2. So having a fidget spinner that you sort of throw at your enemies like a boomerang, sort of like Thai style, would be really good. I think we could very easily incorporate the base elements and the feel of fidget spinning and hoverboarding into the mechanically superb framework that Sonic Adventures 2 provides. Not to mention the soundtrack, I think, will sync up as well. People that like the song Escape from the City probably also like fidget spinners. I mean, I think I'm speaking for Alan and myself. But I mean, honestly, I think it's like a dream it's a dream mashup because the mechanics are there, the concepts all line up, and there's a clear market for fidget spinners, which could introduce all these new people to the greatness that is Sonic.
Yeah, it's all the trends of 2007 and the trends of 1993.
Yeah, exactly. We're all on it.
Yeah,
we've got it.
The game that will cross generations and bring millennials and baby boomers together finally.
Yeah.
Or perhaps it's one of the first signs of the apocalypse, one or the other.
Hey.
Yeah.
I mean, it is pulling together two pretty horrible things. So,
okay, well, let's hear from you about your idea about Final Fantasy 14 or, well, Final Fantasy Beach Volleyball then.
I mean, that's an obvious one, isn't it? That's a no-brainer. Square Enix has lots and lots of very pretty characters. Can they be in a beach volleyball game? Especially if you've got Koei to develop it, you know. Just take the Dead or Alive Extreme engine, the soft engine, and get the Dead or Alive Extreme developers to make a beach volleyball game. Simple. Lots of money. Because, yeah.
I agree.
Who would not want to play, you know, Riku and Vanille versus Lightning and Lulu beach volleyball? I mean, it's just...
I wouldn't, but only because Vanille would be there. If you replaced her with someone else, then it would be fine.
Oh, Matt, we've had this discussion before. You're wrong about Vanille. Okay? Vanille's the best.
She's the worst character in a game full of bad characters.
Oh, God.
You're a very naughty person, Matt.
But on a similar note, one, and I think we have talked about this before, Matt, one, I guess it's not really a crossover, but one game I would like to see would be an Automate beach volleyball extreme game.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean,
all those great characters.
The Hakuoki guys, yeah. Yeah, all the gorgeous game. Guys from Hakuoki, yeah. That'd be good. That'd be really cool. I'd certainly be in for that. Yeah. Other dream mashups. Well, since we've got that Fire Emblem one coming out, let's have a proper Fire Emblem Warriors game, and let's get Lin in there. Yeah. And Hatsune Miku. And Lin in a Warriors game. Could just be those two characters, and I'd still play it, you know?
What would the title even be? Like, what would the franchise or concept be just to have those? Oh, it could be like blue-haired girls warriors. I don't know.
Blue
girls warriors.
Green-haired, turquoise-haired girl warriors. It's turquoise. It's not green.
It's Twintails. It's green. Twintails warriors, and you can get that.
Yeah, Twintails arms warriors. In there as well. Yeah, you can get a... Get twin top arms.
Twin tail warriors. That'd be just great.
Matt just twin tail comes on, and then Matt just flings his console. This is not what I signed up for.
That would be perfect because you can get Rin.
They can be on Switch as well.
Rin from Fate. Yeah, there's enough twin tail girls out there that are good quality that you could have a great warriors game with them.
Oh, God.
Don't need anything else, really. I mean, you don't need a story. Just have stuff there for them to beat up on.
Yeah, you just need Twintail, who is the best girl with twin tails. Am I right?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just them all fighting over who has the best twin tails.
Yeah, or them fighting over who gets to date you, the protagonist. So you could have like an Automat Warriors game. There you go.
Ooh. Yeah, that'd be a good one. It's not so much characters, but kind of gameplay mashup. Have a dating game mixed with a Warriors game. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, we could have like a Rabbids dating game. I mean, I think Trent would be down for that.
Yeah. Let's not go that far.
What about Rabbids x Minions, guys? Come on.
Is anyone... Oh, good.
Did you guys see
that? That would be the worst thing ever.
Nightmare crossovers. Minions Dragon Quest collaboration that Square Enix is doing in Japan.
What?
Because Dragon Quest 11 is out like yesterday or today in Japan.
Yeah.
And as a launch collaboration, they did a Despicable Me thing.
No.
With like, I don't know if it's DLC for the game or what, but it's like a Minions slime.
Oh god.
That's terrible. That's just terrible.
So, yeah.
Oh god. I think the slimes are creepy enough already, to be honest. Yeah. But to slap those goggles and that weird voice that the minions have onto it would just give me nightmares the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I guess more seriously, I'd actually like to see a Dragon Quest Final Fantasy thing happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how they could possibly make it happen because the art styles are so different. But I guess you could re-image, you know, Final Fantasy characters in Dragon Quest style. It'd be great
to redesign all the Dragon Quest characters
as Final Fantasy characters.
That could work. Distinctive style.
Or even just go like World of Final Fantasy route and just have a completely different art style and then just, you know, cool characters in that art style. But it'd be really cool. I mean, Square Enix's two biggest franchises, pulling them together for some kind of game and having Final Fantasy characters beat up on slimes and having, you know, Kefka beat up on Dragon Quest heroes characters would be pretty cool fun. I'd be all for that. I'd also like, more seriously, speaking of Hatsune Miku, rhythm game that pulls together, you know, various different characters from various different rhythm games. IA, you pronounce her name, the other great vocaloid from Japan at the moment. They could do a great collaboration. You just need to get some sound producer to create some music using both vocaloids, and that'd be cool. And there's a whole lot of other vocaloids that don't have games yet. So some kind of mashup game which had vocaloids represented would be really cool.
VR. I'd be for VR. That. Give it to me in VR. Let me get up on the stage next to all these vocaloids.
What about now this?
Of course, Idolmaster mixed with Hatsune Miku. Bring them together.
What about?
You can get up on the stage.
Thumper mixed with
Idolmaster again.
Hatsune Miku.
Which one?
Thumper.
Oh god.
Mixed with Hatsune Miku. Oh god.
I don't know if that would be off-putting or great. Like, you just imagine just looming over you, and then with the same graphic that Thumper's got as well, and the same sort of atmosphere. God.
Yeah, that'd be terrifying.
Oh man!
A band camp. What do you call it? The band, rock band with Hatsune Miku edition.
Oh, that would be fun. I'd like to play another game like that.
They do it. She's in Just Dance, so I don't see why other Western developer publishers can't pick up.
Could be like Voez Hatsune Miku, and then you'd have like the thing. You'd be like Rock Band. We can watch the concert as you're playing it, and then you could get the best of both worlds. I think just Peach.
What other great collaborations could we have?
I think Peach Beach Splash. I mean, look at X Splatoon. So we replace the Splatoon squids with the girls from Senran Kagura, and then how you do the special attacks in Splatoon 2, you press R on your Switch to have the Peach, you know, the Senran Kagura transformation, and then you know you have the magical girl scene, and then all that stuff is happening with everyone's bust size. And you know,
there's a real opportunity there. Like,
I think
have
so.
Ink, though, right? So they're still like shooting ink at each other rather than water.
Oh no, I think definitely should be water.
I mean, it would.
They should be in like very light colored swimsuits, like the little mobile thing that they had out to promote Peach Beach Splash. I played that because a mate linked it to me, and it's like showing you the different weapons and stuff in the game. And it was like a wet t-shirt simulator. So I think there's a little opportunity there as well. But
I mean, I can't believe it hasn't happened yet, but, you know, that somebody should collect all the, you know, the pervy game characters together and just call it the pervy game or something. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't actually matter.
It doesn't need a real name or a real premise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's like Peach Beat Splash or Dead or Alive Extreme or, I don't know, Warriors, just, whatever. You know.
The game will just be called Banned in New Zealand.
Yeah, no.
But you, you get the characters from like Criminal Girls and, you know, Senran Kagura and Dead or Alive and I'm trying to think of other ones. The ladies from Final Fantasy would do. You know, you just get them all together and then all out of clothes
shooting,
and
shooting
then
each other shooting with water guns.
Volleyball or just, you know, standing around.
Yeah, it could be like one of those medley games you used to get on the GameCube where you could, like, it was like, you know, like Mary-Kate and Ashley's, you know, summer party, and you'd play volleyball and then you'd go to the pool and then you'd, like, drive a car around or you'd play mini golf. It's like a compilation of these activities with those characters. They would be great, actually. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Or an Olympics. Oh, there we go. We could do like an Olympics game with them all. That'd be great.
Yeah,
like the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games game, only pervy.
Yeah, without Mario and without Sonic.
Yeah, or even just a pervy version of that with the pervy Mario and pervy Sonic.
No.
Oh, yeah, Mario in bright red Speedos. That would be pretty awesome.
Oh, God. I'm just trying to imagine all the Sonic characters, and I just don't want to imagine them in sort of in a sort of compromising situation. Like, can you imagine Knuckles in, like, a budgie smuggler? Like, I don't want to imagine that. I don't
I can guarantee you can Google search that right now.
No. The fact I believe you, so I'm not going to do it because I believe that a result's going to come up that's going to scar me for life. Oh, God.
Yeah, there's plenty of fan art and fiction out there about Sonic doing things.
Yes.
Hedgehogs. You don't want to think about doing.
Yeah. You'll probably find it on the official Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter account because I wouldn't be surprised if they shared
it. Oh, God. Sorry. No, I just Googled Knuckles Speedo. No, what is he sitting in? What is that? He's in someone's stomach? Why is he pregnant? I don't like this.
Okay, I'm doing that too.
I don't know what's going on.
Please don't.
Is it Tails or... Oh, I'm just searching.
No, Knuckles Speedo. And if you click on the one where he's like in like a little pink orb, it like gives you like a related result, which is him pregnant. And then him with like a big fist. And then him looking... Why is Knuckles Vor a thing? I don't like this.
There we go. So we managed to scar every single person listening to the podcast.
Yeah,
you know they're all going to be curious now, and they're going to Google search it. Sorry to all our listeners.
Dream game crossover is nothing to do with Sonic anymore. I take it back. I don't want to think about this ever again.